It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoy.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. And special guest in the studio, we're kind of thick as thieves now again, Jenny.
Yeah.
Vice Mayor Jenny Koch from Lake Havasu City. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
Good. I'm kind of waiting. I'm going to call him the late Cal Sheehy today because he hasn't walked through the door yet. But we're good. We know he's here.
Yeah, he knows that we're in here. We got it. So
he's in the mothership. In the inner sanctum of the mothership. How you like that?
Very good.
Awesome, huh?
In the bowels, is that what they call it?
Oh, I could call it that. Yeah, absolutely. The bowels of the mothership. I love it. All right. This is definitely going to work today. We're going to change the format up a little bit here. I think Cal's going to, or Mayor Sheehy, rather, is going to stay till around the bottom of the hour. So we're going to run it right down to the bottom of the hour until the first break. And then we'll float the other two because we have two special guests coming in, from what I understand, Jenny.
I believe we do. Some of our Havasu Youth Advisory Council members will be here with us.
That's, and you're the advisor, right?
One of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Been involved with that for probably, I want to say, like the last 6 years that I've been on council.
Oh, my.
So I really enjoy, you know, my daughter graduated in 2014, and so it's a great way for me to really stay connected with the kids. And it's always interesting their perspective on things, and especially this past year with the different way that the world is with the COVID, and hearing their take on things and how they feel about the structure of school and all those types of things. So it's been really good to get their feedback and hear from them, and then let them know that, you know, their opinion does matter, and we care what they think as our up and coming leaders of the future. So it's very rewarding to be part of that group. So
do you remember when the standard was pre 9/11? Now it's going to be pre COVID, right?
Right.
That's,
I don't know.
Scary stuff.
It's the weirdest thing.
It is
the world
the weirdest
that we live
thing.
In.
And you work at the hospital, so
I do. So I get it all day long, every which way but Sunday. I
all
tell you.
Day, every day. All right. Couple of housekeeping items here. If you want NCAA basketball, and Mayor Cal Sheehy just walked into the studio. He's no longer the late Mayor Cal Sheehy. Let's see. Tonight, we've got the CAA championship. I'm not sure which conference that is, but it is NCAA, 4:45 p.m. And the West Coast Conference championship, I believe Pepperdine is in that conference, and that's at 6:45 p.m. We'll be joining in progress. I counted before the show from Friday to Sunday, we have 9 college basketball games from what I counted. So, and this isn't even March Madness yet. We're pre-March Madness. It's still the conference tournaments, and then they'll have Selection Sunday, of course, on Sunday. So, yeah, we've got a lot of round ball, as they call it. And you're tall enough to play a pretty good forward position, I would say, Cal. Did you play basketball in high school?
No, I
what
did not.
What a waste of height.
Of height, I know. But I use the height for other things now. So
here I am at 5'7", right? Barely a guard. I mean, that's like nothing now. I mean, I'm probably just a little bit taller than Nate Archibald was, or Spud Webb, you know. And
today I have a lot of time with Cal, so I had to wear my big girl heels so that I could be somewhat tall.
Here you're 6'4". Am I right?
6'3".
6'3" and a half.
Yes.
All right. With the headphones on.
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. All right, so we do have a council meeting tonight.
We do.
And I have not, I will admit, I've been slammed this morning. I have not had a chance to look at the agenda. I could pull it up online. But from what I hear from the vice mayor, Jenny Koch, it's not that involved of an agenda this week.
No, you know, we have a few items on there for some purchases of some equipment and assets for the city. We have some police cruisers that we'll be able to purchase. You know, for many years, when we weren't in such a good financial position, we had to defer some of those expenses. So, we're excited to be able to get some of those replacement items.
And we're working on the CERT vehicle too, right? That's one of the...
Yeah, correct. Yeah, the CERT vehicle, which is a 30-plus-year-old vehicle that was repurposed all those years ago to become a CERT vehicle that is used by volunteer CERT, which are generally the volunteers you see at community events in the bright green shirts that provide first aid and the like. And
community emergency, is that it? Community emergency response team?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of years of doing news.
Yeah, teamwork there. I would not have been able to say it.
No worries.
Myself.
I know you wanted to get it out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So their vehicle, they also rehab our fire fighters when they're at fire incidents and also our police department when they're at long incidents as well. So that vehicle will come forward, as Vice Mayor Koch said. To be able to finally get
sure.
Get them a vehicle that works and runs. Last year, unfortunately, I think there was two or three incidences that the vehicle didn't make it there with them because it was not working. So, but those volunteers are so amazing. All of the CERT volunteers, thank you for all that you do. And you know, you save taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars each year for their efforts and certainly keep our citizens safe when they are at events.
So when you were in the, we just named it the bowels of the mothership. you were when you were late coming into the
when
speak
you were
out
in
room.
The hallway.
Yeah, well, I was here. I was in the studio.
I understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked about you leaving at the bottom of the hour, and then Jenny's going to take up the back half of the show as well with the Youth Advisory Council. So while the mayor's here, if you want to talk to the mayor, the number is 854-KNTR, 854-5687. And we're live, of course, on 106.3, Voice of the Free. And one call we got, I think it was when Jess was on last, Jess Knutson, city manager. A lot of people out there are concerned about the proliferation of side-by-sides. And, there's desert around us, but they like to run them at night lately. Have you noticed that? Has anybody talked about enforcement of that?
Yeah, so we have been having discussions, obviously, with a popularity of side-by-sides and we have, you know, great organizations within our community that people participate in. But we just remind, folks that are using them, to be courteous of their neighbors. Don't be off-roading in city limits. So a lot of people are taking some of the wash areas and driving, the side-by-sides up and down them at all hours of the day and
with
night.
With very bright lights.
Bright lights and a lot of dust.
Right.
And, likewise with the island, there's been a lot of development on the island so it's not appropriate to off-road in that area. Certainly you can take the road to the island and then off-road at a lower speed to get down to the water,
gotcha.
But actually not off-road because we do have, as you had mentioned, hundreds of miles of trails that are marked. And then we also remind users to pack it in and pack it out. So, you know, let's be respectful of our desert landscape and whatever you take with you, make sure you bring out with you. But let's do it responsibly and let's start with an education program. I know that's always how I prefer to do it. I'm not a big fan of additional regulations. Let's talk it through and see how we can all work together to benefit all of our citizens.
So there is nothing on the books, but I would imagine a lot of this is coming from out of towners too, because I just can't imagine people that live here disrespecting their neighbors in that way. So that being said, if the police department were to ask for another vehicle or two, Are there such things as equipped side-by-sides for law enforcement?
I'm going
to talk
channel.
To Chief Doyle about that as well.
Yeah, we have some in our fleet already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have vehicles that allow for off-road. But you mentioned there's anything on the books. There is something on the books about off-roading within city limits. Using those wash areas, especially like Powerline Trail and some of those that come through the city, is El Dorado Wash, some of those that's not acceptable to be off-roading in those areas at any time. And so we will educate folks that are doing it. But, again, just be responsible and enjoy the great outdoors.
Okay. What?
Along those lines, we talked about this Friday at coffee with the mayor and city manager. Yes, that is against the rules. And as someone who's had a side-by-side for years and put on off-road events, very big into the off-road community, totally understand it. But if you look at our budget, the amount of money we spend on preserving our washes and taking care of our washes,
yeah,
number
good
one,
point.
We can't use them as roads. We need to keep them up for what their intended purpose is as well. So not only is it just not right to do it, we spend a lot of money to keep those washes up. And by going in and riding vehicles up and down there, that's just deteriorating them even more to cause us to have to go back and spend more money to revitalize those on top of the money we already have to spend.
Right.
So that's a huge part of our budget every year, and we need to be very cognizant of that as residents, that you want those washes to work, because if they don't, your roads don't work, your yards get washed out, things happen. So, you know, that's something else. If nothing else, if people take that away from that whole conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure you both noticed it, especially with the mild winter that we've been having, and they're just out and about, you know. I mean, there are a ton of, it was like boats back in the day, I would say, you know, from till 2010 when I lived here, it seemed like everybody had a boat. Now it seems like everybody has a side-by-side.
Well, I think a lot of our neighbors to the west of us, that have second homes here, or were just here because we were more open than they were, have those side-by-sides. So you're seeing a big influx. And if they're here because they're not able to go to work where they are, then they're going to be here more days, more hours, and so forth. So we just get more traffic, and that's kind of what happens.
I figured this would initiate a phone call, too. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Actually, that would have initiated the call. I was wondering about the situation about desert shooting.
No?
Yeah, great. So about what?
Well, can you do it? Is there certain areas you can and cannot, and where would they be?
Sure. Yeah. So that we have had several citizens speak to us at Call to the Public during council meetings about this, and most of those are residents that have homes that are near the desert areas.
Right.
And so there are areas that you can do it. There's a little bit of complication with the land uses because there's surrounded by state trust land, federal lands, and then private holdings. But it can be done. But what we're talking about with citizens is to ensure that they pack it in and pack it out, and they don't take old televisions and appliances,
right,
and such to shoot at. And then just to be respectful again, you know, there's folks that are using tannerite, which,
right,
kind of makes a large boom,
yeah,
sound. That's very distracting to the citizens out adjacent to this area. And so we have been working with that group as well as other citizen users, and we'll continue to educate on that front so that people know where to do it, how to do it responsibly, and to help lessen the impact for those neighbors that are impacted by it.
Well, is there a map or something that shows the designated areas?
There is, if you go to state trust land and have the permit to be on state lands, and then, again, federal, and then the private holdings are up to the private ownership, which generally they're not going to want people on their property. But there's not one good location that you can go for a one source that says, you know, this is the map and these are the lands that you can do it on. Each of the respective landholders have their own.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the question.
You're welcome. Great phone call. And thanks for turning this into talk radio, not just listen radio. Right?
Yes. You know, that's the best to have feedback. But,
right, right.
But, you know, the desert, if you are able to get to the desert and you don't have a side-by-side, even if you go to the areas off of city limits or city roads in a truck, you can get through. It's bad. We need people to really care for our desert and take better care of it.
Right. We have another phone call. Caller. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Can you turn down your radio, please?
29 years. I'm the only one that has horses up there nowadays, and I love the sound of the shooting, and I love the sound of the tannerite, and it does not bother my children nor my animals. Keep doing it.
Okay. Well, there's one opinion.
Yeah, no, thank you for your opinion. And you know, what we're trying to do is through the previous caller's conversations, just talk about it and let people know. A lot of people, they want to be good neighbors. It's not looking to stop anything. It's just how do you do it responsibly for everybody. And so we just talk about it and talk it through, and generally we can find compromise for everyone to work outside of regulations.
So we have a executive session planned for tonight as well. Three evaluations, Kelly Gary, Judge Kalali, and City Manager Jess Knudsen. Will this maybe, I know you can't talk about it in detail, but with a successful conclusion in this executive session, I'm kind of searching for words, for Jess Knudsen, would this put that whole situation to bed?
You know, it's hard to have that discussion until we meet this afternoon with the council, but we'll be reviewing all three positions and the performance for all three of the employees that report to council, and having a path forward.
Right.
So we'll be doing it a little bit different this year. We'll do it over two sessions. So we'll meet today and have the opportunity to speak with those three employees that work directly for the council.
Right.
If we so desire, and then we'll have a follow-up at a subsequent meeting. I believe currently is tentatively scheduled for early April.
Okay.
So we'll be talking through the performance of all three of those positions and seeing how we want to move forward as a community for all three of them.
So how are the negotiations going? I know you were part of the lead on that with the Go Lake Havasu people.
Yeah, so that is also up for discussion tonight to award the contract potentially, if that's the will of the council. As it's presented right now, based on council feedback from a month ago now, it's a flat fee contract, which is similar to the contract that the city has with the Partnership for Economic Development. Prior to this, and for many, many years, it's always been a percentage of bed tax and food and beverage tax that have been collected, you know, due to their efforts of bringing more tourism or managing tourism through that process. And so we'll see what that discussion is. The last time we discussed it was pretty
contentious.
Contentious, I guess you could say. Yes. I don't know where the council sits with a flat fee. I do know that their board has approved this contract. Their board being the Go Lake Havasu's board. And so we'll have that discussion this evening at our council meeting and see if it's less contentious with members of council and see if we can get it passed.
When you say flat fee, is that like a cap, like 1.6 or 1.9 million?
It would be, as presented in the council agenda, is a flat fee of $1.6 million to do tourism.
Mm-hmm.
As was discussed at our previous council meeting, we talked about still using a percentage of the sales tax collected through bed tax and food and beverage tax with a cap up to 1.9. So gave them incentive. At that point, there wasn't enough support for that. I personally support that. I think that we need to stay with the investment in tourism. I look at tourism as an investment. The more outside dollars we can bring into our community, the more that we can further economic development on all fronts and create a good quality of life for our citizens. So that was my position, but not the will of the council that evening. And so we'll see what it looks like today. But again, their board seems happy with a flat contract of $1.6 million. So I think they're coming in with a little bit more conversation to our discussion this evening. So.
You know, looking back on that night, and it was a close vote, I'm not so sure it was the amount as it was the council members, at least what I heard, felt that the city staff should have more input on the matter. Is that how you took it as well?
Yeah, I think the process was in question.
Was flawed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. There's been a process in place for years, and you know, it just didn't work this time. And for whatever reason, whoever's reason, it just led some council members not to be comfortable moving forward. And
sure.
you know, that happens.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing sometimes to have questions and conversations more in depth than to just go with status quo too. So it's not always a bad thing. It's not always a negative. We learn and we have new council members. Each election there seems to be, you know, we get new people and they have to go through the process too. And even council members who have been there who maybe read more into it, than previous years and just decided that, you know, they had more questions or concerns.
Yeah. When you say status quo, we're talking the last 20 years maybe. Been in place or more.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I've been here 20 years now, and it's been in place since before I was here.
The mid-90s, I believe.
Yeah, bed tax was in the 80s. And both of these revenue sources were industry-led. So it was, you know, hotels and restaurants and the like and folks from tourism and economic development that really pushed these revenue sources as an opportunity to reinvest into the community and offset the cost to everyday citizens by doing this. So, it's a generational shift. It's a big discussion, and it definitely is testing the norms. But we'll see how the conversation goes this evening, and hopefully Golik Havasu will continue to do the good work they do for tourism promotion.
So, Mr. Mayor, the state of the city during COVID, our taxable revenues have been steady, year over year of what, 19% increases in that. The governor just came out with his latest executive order, rescinding many of the other orders. What can you tell the business owners out there with regard to COVID and those executive orders?
Well, the great news is that our COVID numbers are going down. So it doesn't matter what metric you look at. You could look at hospital visits at the local hospital have decreased significantly. You could look at the three metrics that the Arizona Department of Health Services reviews, which is percent positivity of testing, COVID-like illness presenting at the hospitals, and then the number per 100,000.
Oh, I was going to say, and the ICU capacity as well.
Yeah, and the ICU capacity in your local hospital. So all of our metrics look fantastic, and across the state and across Lake Havasu.
I'm thinking of January. We had a conversation before the show. You know, be careful what you wish for, or be careful how you say it.
I said when people ask you, you know, how are things going? Yeah. It's like, well, it's, you know, that you can't say certain things around certain places because it's like, oh no, that was the bad thing to say. Now it's going to flip. So
it's like telling someone you're looking for a job, right? And then it doesn't happen because you jinxed it.
Oh, geez. Well, that's not what I'm intending to do. I'm just trying to give factual information to our citizens.
I know.
And it's, so that, you know, those metrics look good. And the governor on Friday did make an announcement, mostly the announcement was about spring training down in the valley. And the second one was that he lifted any of the occupancy restrictions on those businesses that are currently restricted, which are restaurants, bars, gyms, and theaters. And he lifted those. However, the business is still responsible to require masks of the staff and the patrons going in until they're seated, and also social distancing. So it was followed up right after his executive order announcement by Dr. Kara Crist that if you are following the physical distancing requirements, chances are your business will not be at full capacity. So it's it just made it a little bit more cloudy for businesses. But
I agree. Thank you. Because a lot of people are asking me, can I dance now? You know, I mean, or they'll go to our gigs. Can we dance now? And you know, is that just up to the restaurant or the business itself?
Well, it's according to the guidance from Arizona Department of Health Services, the answer would be no. But as things are starting to shift and the numbers continue to do what they're doing,
and the vaccinations
continue to roll out, we'll start to see life getting back to normal, which would include dancing and not wearing masks and
co-mingling.
Exactly, getting together again, and we've seen that already. I mean, we've had a very common sense approach in Lake Havasu City, but we're seeing more and more of our everyday happening. We're starting to see some community events happening again, community gatherings, in person events, and so you know, folks are smart enough to make the decisions that make sense for them and their family, and we encourage that, and we'll continue to do that as we round this corner.
So I want to ask our vice mayor, Jenny, what's the official media line from the hospital as far as this goes with the new executive order or lack of executive order, as I like to call it, rescinding? What is the hospital stance on this?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the hospital any longer because I'm not their marketing and PR person.
Oh, I thought you were.
No,
oh.
I was interim, but we did get a new marketing and PR director. But I will tell you, I mean, nothing that the governor mentioned on Friday has any impact on us as a hospital. We are still under some limitations as far as visitor restrictions, and that's just simply to keep our patients safe.
Sure.
But we are back to doing surgeries and everything. And you know, the hospital is a safe place to go, and we want you to go there if you need to be there. But, having 3 or 4 visitors isn't going to happen at this time. And you do have to wear a mask in the hospital at all times, and that's just, again, just keeping everybody safe.
Sure.
But, we're hopeful for the time that we can get back to allowing people to have visitors on a regular basis and not just the one allotted per person. And so, you know, we're optimistic that there's a light at the end of that tunnel, but we have to first and foremost make sure that the people who need to be in the hospital are staying safe.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's
by the
okay.
way. But that was a good answer, I thought. So there you go.
I think I've done it enough now.
Cal's got that look like, yeah,
yes.
That's why she's my vice mayor.
Yep, she had that ready.
All right. Let's go ahead and take that first break, and we'll bring in the Youth Advisory Council members. And, Cal, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning.
Always.
If I can do anything for our citizens, please reach out. I appreciate it. And Vice Mayor Koch will take it over with our Havasu Youth Advisory Council.
Seems kind of weird letting you go.
I know. It seems weird for me, too, but but here I go. So thank
right.
you, everybody.
And this is about the kids.
Absolutely.
So, well, young adults, let's put it that way.
I'm sure Cal will find something to fill up that half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm already 2 minutes late for my next meeting. So.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
So thank you very much, though.
I have a feeling that's like something in your vocabulary, your favorite phrase.
Yes.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Jenny Koch and I will return in just a moment. We'll have two members of the Havasu Youth Advisory Council. And Jerry Broccomani is the other advisor, right?
Member of council would be Michelle Lynn, but then Jerry Broccomani is their staff advisor.
Oh,
yes,
perfect. Okay. Back with more in a moment. Here's a little Steve Miller. Stay with us.
Have my money, I tell you what I do. Go downtown and buy a Mercury or two. Cause I'm crazy about a Mercury now. Cruise up and down this road.
Take a load off Benny. Take a load for free. Take a load.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Verizon Community Bank, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology. And don't forget, if you miss any part of this show, you can go to the archives, kntrtalk.com. Look for the Speak Out tab. There's also Speak Out 2.0. And his guests today are from, Larry's guests today, rather, are from the Sunrise Rotary Club. And you can also stream the show live at kntrtalk.com. We have very special guests in the studio with Jenny Koch and myself. And I'm going to let Jenny do the introductions.
You want me to do the introduction?
Well, I wrote their names down. I can do that, but they're your youth council.
Well, the Youth Advisory Council is our youth representatives from the area high schools. And I don't know, how long have you have been in multiple
been in
years.
It.
I get lost. I think it's been 6 years I've been involved with the Youth Advisory Council at the high school. And
wow.
They get in, it seems like, when you join as a freshman, we keep you guys involved all the way through to your senior year.
Yeah.
So
yes.
It's kind of one of those really great experiences. We get to watch the kids grow all the way through high school.
So we have Aiden Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Right? And Kavai Kalali.
Yes.
He got it right. I wanted to see if he was going to get it right.
Of course I got it right. I do all kinds of names all the time. So Judge Kalali is your father.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I even said he's a cool, that'd be a cool dad to have, and you agreed with me.
I do, yes. I do love him. He's a cool dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep him.
You have to love him. He's your dad.
right? I don't get much of a choice.
All right. Tell us about the Youth Advisory Council. I'll go to you first, Aiden.
Okay.
What have you gotten from the Youth Advisory Council that you can't get from any other, say, club on campus?
Let's see. I think from the Youth Advisory Council, I've learned a lot how to be like a leader in my community, and I've learned from adults like Jenny Koch and the mayor and Jerry Broccomani, like how to be professional and how to go about things and just learn things that I can use for life and teach other people. I've just learned a lot, I feel like.
Life lessons. Yes. There you go. Yeah. What about you, Kavai?
For me, I would say definitely the experiences that I've had. I've gotten to meet Governor Ducey and all those.
Wow.
Yes, we got to take a picture with him at the last conference that we had just over a year ago. So just definitely all the experiences that I've had traveling to Phoenix and traveling to Tucson and getting to compete in Democracy and all those kind of things that will definitely prepare me for my future.
Now, you've done this before on the radio, right? Have both of you?
Yes, both of us have. Yeah.
Oh, great. Wow. So there's experience
right
there.
Watch out, they're taking your show over.
You know what? I got a lot of stuff to do at this station, so I don't have any worries with that. So tell me about these competitions and events that you go to.
So our last competition, Democracy, we didn't have one this year because of COVID and everything, but last year we competed with, I think, 5 other youth councils. And what we did is we took on a challenge to help better our community and help take on one. And ours was about mental health. So we did this whole thing, and then we followed the rules and everything, and we put this whole presentation together and presented in front of these judges. And we were able to win, I think, $500 from this competition because we just did so well.
For your council.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, which would go to travel or accommodations or fuel. Wow.
And the year
That's
before
really
you
impressive.
Guys, you, the year before was your, was that your back, your teacher, was the teacher retention project, or was that 2 years before?
That was 2 years before. Yeah.
That's really impressive. You must be really proud of these
They're
young
amazing
ladies.
To watch.
I don't want to call them kids because they're not kids.
Well, there are young adults, but it's boys and girls, and they really get involved and they really get excited about it, and it's fun to watch them, especially when we get to go to the conferences and watch you guys get excited about your projects and your community, and it's so rewarding to watch that.
Jenny, you're super, super busy with your job. You have a full-time job at the hospital. You're city council. You've been on the council for quite a while. How do you find time to do this also?
This is the part that you do because it's fun and it's rewarding. And, you know, as I told you earlier, you know, my daughter, she graduated in 2014. Mm-hmm. And, boy, when that's gone and out of the house, you want to stay connected to these young adults that are really going to be the future of Lake Havasu City, and you want to give them an area to learn and grow and find out and be able to ask questions. And, you know, I don't remember ever having access to officials or leaders when I was growing up, so I think it's really an awesome opportunity if we can be there to help them and just lead for them or show them or answer questions for them. I mean, that's part of being on council is to do these things.
Are you both seniors?
I'm a senior.
And I'm a junior.
You're a senior. You're a junior.
Yes.
So where did you, who carved the path for you? Who was before you? And did they mentor you as well? Or is that your adult advisors that do that?
That was Jerry Bracamani.
Okay.
I've known her for a while, so she was like comfortable with bringing me in, and I was comfortable with doing it. I was like, oh yeah, I'll take this on. It's something I was interested in.
How did you get involved?
Definitely Jerry, but also Ella Wofford, who was a senior last year.
Yes, last year.
She definitely was very actively involved in HIAC and definitely encouraged me when she left to take her path and be able to keep building on her legacy, because she did a lot for HIAC while she was in it. So I am grateful for her, definitely her, and as well as Jerry. She's definitely done a lot.
Jerry's great.
Yeah.
She's really the glue that binds it all together. She's that hands-on at City Hall that helps keep us all involved, and then she's right there with the kids. And I know you guys all have a group. Not a text. It's a messaging thing. She's like, oh, let me just check with them, and she'll send it out and be like 30 responses in 20 seconds. So it's awesome. They respond very well to Jerry.
And Jerry's very busy on her own. You know, at least this member of the media calls her the other city manager. You know, she has her hands in everything. So this is just another thing that obviously that she does very well as an advisor. Now, you're both very outgoing as well. Were you always that way, or did this bring you out of your shell?
I've always been outgoing. My mom is very outgoing, so I've learned a lot from that because of her. And I've always just liked talking to people.
Right. You could have a conversation with a rock, right?
Yeah.
I was told that one time. Yeah.
Yes.
I've always been really outgoing as well, but I definitely think that HIAC has brought out that leader in me that I didn't know that I had. It definitely has furthered my skills that I had ever since I was younger, my public speaking abilities, definitely making me more outgoing. HIAC has definitely encouraged that a lot.
HIAC. I like that.
Yes, that's our acronym.
We've already got an acronym. I love that. So you could do a hashtag HIAC, right?
Yes.
Perfect. You've probably done it a few times, right?
Yes.
That's what our group texting message system is called.
That's perfect. All right, Jenny Koch, Aiden Bishop, and Kavai Kalali are my guests right now. We'll be back with more with our HIAC members and one of their advisors on council
right.
in a moment. Vice Mayor Jenny Koch, we need to call her, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she has the title now. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. This is Speak Out. Back on Speak Out, a little Joe Bonamassa for Wayne over at Neat Pools. He's a big Joe B fan. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Shagru's Family of Restaurants, the Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. Over 1,000 homes sold and counting. I like putting that last part in there. And counting, and they're selling a lot of homes right now pretty much everywhere
they
in
are.
Havasu. The inventory last month was like, there were like 74 homes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, left.
Wow.
To
Seems
sell.
Like if there's, if there's a house you want, you can probably buy
right.
it. It's probably for sale.
Yeah.
So we want to talk a little bit more about HIAC. That's the Havasu Youth Advisory Council. And we're with Aiden Bishop, Kavai Kalali, and, of course, Vice Mayor Jenny Koch, who was just speaking. And you have a project this month that's very important to the food bank. But we kind of want to preface that with something that you've already done for the food bank.
Yes. So back in October of 2020, this past year, our Havasu Youth Advisory Council partnered with the Chamber Foundation of Education and Leadership to put on this drive-in movie that was COVID safe, totally responsible. And we hosted this. So we showcased Hocus Pocus. I'm pretty sure that was the movie.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So
that's a funny movie.
So we raised money for the food bank. And then we were just thinking, we're like, well, if we're already doing this, we might as well just keep going forward to help out the community, you know? So now on all throughout March, we're hosting the Operation Restock the Food Bank, which is where the community comes together to put in all this food for the food bank. And we're partnering with, like, let me see. We're partnering with the Bashes, Smith's, Food City, the schools,
yeah,
and everything to raise this food.
Yeah, so we have partnered already with Smith's and Food City and Bashes offered to be able to keep buckets in their stores. That way they could collect food donations, and the schools also receive buckets. And yesterday I went over to Starline and picked up a ton of food, so we're really, really excited that the community is so willing to participate in this.
Was it literally 2,000 pounds of food? You just said a ton of food.
Yeah, 2,000. Yes, there was. I had to carry it all, so it definitely felt like it.
It felt like it, for sure.
I had to use her muscles.
Careful
Careful
what you say to a news guy.
So going on with this, so
yes.
Since we're doing it all throughout March, on March 27th at 9 a.m. to noon, we're hosting a drive-in where people can come bring their cars with food, and they can open up their trunks, and our youth group will come and just bring that food out so we can donate it to the food bank.
How cool is that?
And that's going to be at the food bank on 1980 Kiowa Boulevard North.
Perfect. Are you asking for any types of food or canned food in particular?
Yes. So we're asking for more non-perishable food items, such as canned meat, canned fruits and vegetables, canned beans and chili, canned tomatoes, pastas, sauces, soups, crackers, peanut butter, cereal. Anything along those lines.
Canned meat, yeah. Get that Spam, right?
Some people love it.
I do.
Hey,
I have
hey,
a can of Spam in my pantry.
I love Spam.
Yeah.
I love it. Don't knock it till you fry it.
I've never tried.
Knock till you fry it. I love this girl. And Spam jelly, of course. Right? That's on the top.
Oh, the Spam jelly.
Yeah. That's Spam jelly.
See, I've never tried.
But don't put it on your
spam.
Toast.
No, we do some Spam eggs and rice at my house.
There you
some
go.
Mayonnaise on our rice. some Hawaiian food for you.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So, again, what's the date on that?
March 27th from 9 a.m. to noon at the food bank on 1980 Kiowa.
No, it's on Kiowa.
1980 Kiowa.
Yes. Right. Okay. It's across from FedEx up on Kiowa. Yeah.
Okay, sorry to confuse people. So, I had McCulloch on the brain for some reason. Anyway, okay, perfect. That's the big project though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've just been tackling this whole, since like January, I think we've started this.
Yeah, ever since we finished our drive-in movie in October, we've really just been thinking about what we wanted to do and how else we could help the community and help the food bank. And so then we decided, well, why don't we do a drive-in canned food drive, because obviously we want to be safe, socially distanced with COVID and all those sorts of things. And so this is kind of something that we just came up with and decided that it would be really good. And already we've seen a lot of support from the community.
So you're graduating soon.
Next year, yes, I'm a junior.
Oh, you're the junior.
I'm a senior.
So you're graduating soon. That's Aiden, by the way.
You're pointing in the radio. I cannot see that.
For those of you who can't see me point, which is pretty much everybody except for who's in this room. So what's that like? You're going to be graduating this year. Is it going to be a little different than last year, or are you going to get to walk?
I'm pretty sure we'll get to walk. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I'm hoping for it. It just depends on everything with COVID and the safety rules, but I'm hoping so. I hope that I get a graduation after this whole year.
And you've got so much going on with HIAC, and I'm sure other clubs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Any senioritis going on?
Not really.
Oh, that's good.
I'm kind of just flying by. I'm like, it's going good.
Right. Jenny, how rewarding is it to see new people coming in, like when Aiden leaves, somebody else taking her place?
It's exciting. We get to start with the freshmen when they start coming in and then watching them go up. But it's exciting to watch them go off to college and see them come back and visit us and share whatever there is that they're doing or what career path they've taken. And it's very exciting. And, you know, it's interesting. Always everybody's got so many different options for what they're going to do and career choices that sometimes they just knock me out of left field. Like, where did that come from? Like, I wouldn't think of it as a career choice. Some of the people that we've seen come through, some of the kids, they're huge goals. I mean, it's amazing. And they go out and they accomplish them. It's just awesome.
I just talked to a young person who's studying anthropology, I believe it is, at NAU. And I'm like, you know, what's the practical application of that is what I asked. CSI. To work in forensics, in criminal investigations. I had no idea that that would help with that type
of
career.
Some of them are going for overseas business and you know, just amazing things in finance, and it's just exciting.
Right. So what kind of grades does it take to stay on HIAC? Is that, I mean, you can't get C's and D's, right?
I don't think you guys have
Is there a grade requirement?
I don't think so, but I think we all need to be responsible for ourselves and make sure that we're doing well to be a good leader.
Most of our members in HIAC are already honor roll students, and that is why we did get chosen. We already have the grades and the community involvement, and so that is one of the reasons that our application does get chosen.
Wow, what an awesome and worthwhile cause. You want to talk about the food bank event again in that way? People can be reminded as we go out?
Yes. So the food bank, again, is Operation Restock the Food Bank. That's on March 27th. Well, it's all throughout March where you can go to these grocery stores such as Smith's, Bash's, Food City.
Do you know where the containers are in the stores? Maybe that would be easier for them.
I am not sure, but I know that they were really trying to put them out in the front. It was just kind of coordinating with the grocery store managers and all that kind of thing.
Is Albertsons on that list? Albertsons or Safeway?
I don't believe so.
No? Okay. That's where I shop. So.
That's okay.
But, yeah, so we're doing that. And then the drive-through for the food bank is on March 27th from 9 a.m. to noon on 1980 North Kiowa Boulevard. And that's where you can come and bring your food that you want to donate through this drive-through. And our HIAC members, you will pop your trunk, we'll take out the food for you, and then we'll donate it. It's that easy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing great. I imagine that's going to look really good on your college application, too, right?
Yeah, so we'll just throw out there one last thing. If anybody wants to make any monetary or food donations and that doesn't work, please contact the Youth Advisory Council at 453-4141, and we'll make arrangements for those donations.
Oh, that's great. And you'll be helping Youth Advisory Council and their members go to all different kinds of events and competitions, speech and debate's part of that, right?
No?
No.
Sort of?
It's
not.
No.
Well, you do a lot of speaking.
You guys sound
a lot of speaking. Uh-huh. We do lots of public speaking.
And presentations.
Yes.
You guys sound like you should be in speech and debate, though. All right. Well, best of luck to you both.
Thank you.
See you next year since you're a junior.
Yes, I'll be back.
All right. That's Kavai Kalali. We're also with Aiden Bishop and Vice Mayor Jenny Cove. Thanks for joining us today on Speak Out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul LaVoy. And welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy. Just under a minute left in the show, and I want to thank our guests, Mayor Cal Sheehy, Vice Mayor Jenny Koch, Aiden Bishop, and Kavai Kalali from the Havasu Youth Advisory Council, also known as HIAC, and Larry Tuneforce coming up next. He's got members of the Sunrise Rotary Club, Karen and Liz, it says. So Speak Out 2.0 after news and a short break, and by all means, stay safe, buy local, and dine local. I'm Paul LaVoy, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Please be safe out there.